Hello, you're listening to Career Conversations, the latest series that's part of the Table Talk podcast from Food Matters Live. I'm Alicia Roche, a chef and food journalist, and together we'll meet experts in cooking, mixology, the environment, psychology, branding, social media, and all sorts as we learn about the surprisingly varied roles that go way beyond the kitchen. My guest today is Rachel Aughty, who is the new product development controller for Greencore, a huge producer of foods you'll find in every single supermarket around the country. Even as she approaches 20 years in the business, Rachel still loves talking about everything food. She is passionate about her industry and very keen to welcome in as many of you as possible. Rachel talks about how a chance meeting on the bus started her career path in the first place, and she gave us so many useful tips for students listening. I will share them all at the end, and I'm telling you, it's a bonanza. But for now, settle in and enjoy the podcast. I'm hoping that the snack game is pretty strong in your office. I hope people are bringing in homemade treats and things.
It would be fair to say the snack game is very strong. Yeah, we have a lot of great cooks and a huge amount of shared passion for food. It's definitely a good career to enter if you are, like me, always hungry and a little bit greedy at heart.
You're an NPD controller. Now, just in case anyone's listening who doesn't know what that is, NPD stands for New Product Development.
That's right.
But what does an NPD controller do?
So in new product development, obviously we have teams of people working in all sorts of different capacities. And essentially, we're the foodie ones. We're the ones who come up with the ideas, who work together with customers to create fantastic concepts from those ideas, and work together with colleagues in the broader teams, ultimately, to bring those to life. So I manage a small but very amazing and dynamic team.
Tell me a little bit more about Greencore, where you're working now. It's a name I keep coming across in my role here at Food Matters Live, but I don't fully understand what they do.
Well, Greencore is a really big company, and the division that I work within is the prepared meals sector. And you would find a lot of the products that we make in many supermarkets across the country. So we make ready meals, soups and sauces, which is the area that I work within. And then across the broader business, we make sandwiches, we make Yorkshire puddings, we make ketchup, curry sauces, pickles. We make so many different products, and I've probably left them out. Sushi, salads, coleslaw. Wow. I mean, yeah, you'd find a lot of Greencore products on the shelves in the supermarket.
As a consumer, walking down the high street, there's lots of big food and drinks brands. When they come to you to develop a new product, how does the process start? How does it work?
Being a retailer, your mission in life is a lot of things, but it's not generally to produce your own products. You have to work with different companies and form really great partnerships. And in a good scenario for me, it involves a really strong partnership to start with. So you're working together to understand the market dynamics of the category that you're working in, to be expert in product and trends, and ultimately to really know your end consumer and what they're looking for and how you can surprise and delight them with the products that you make. And from that partnership comes a brief. That could be anything from what we call an EPD brief, which is existing product development. So we might want to improve a product that we sell. It could be something that is new product development, so a new flavour, or something really stretching and innovative where you're trying to form a whole new category of products. And in that brief, your customer will give you an idea of the context and the background. Why do they want to develop in this area? And what they're really looking for. So those key criteria that that product has to deliver on. And getting a brief through the door is one of the most exciting parts of the process, because, I mean, although you might have an inkling of what that might say, it's where you are issued the challenge, so to speak. And it is, yeah, very exciting. And that's the point at which you start brainstorming with your team. Your mind starts whirring with ideas and possibilities. And that is a very exciting part of product development for sure.
Let's rewind and go back to the beginning of your career. How did you get here? What did you study and where?
There's an important moment if I reflect back on it. So I was studying my A-levels and I loved food. I loved home. It was A-level home economics at the time. I also really loved business studies and I wasn't quite sure where to go. I'd worked as a kitchen porter in a restaurant on the weekends and was thinking about whether or not a life in restaurants was going to be right for me and looking at catering colleges. And at the same time, thinking about whether or not I should pursue more of a business studies route. And I couldn't really see anything that was in the middle between those two things. I was finding it really difficult to choose. And I hopped on the bus home from college one day and I happened to sit next to another student who lived down my road. And it turns out that she too was very interested in these areas and had found this magical place and this magical course to study that seemed on the face of it to combine both of those things. And it was literally just that tiny little chance moment of getting on that bus and sitting next to that person that I even realized that product development existed. The stars aligned, shall we say, that I was able to find out that information. And it's one of the reasons I feel really passionate about sharing this now with other young people so that they might not have to catch a certain bus on a certain day and sit next to a certain person to find out such information.
Wow, it really sounds like fate there, Rachel.
Yeah, I think it must have been fate, yes.
And so you ended up at Sheffield Hallam?
I did. At the time, it was food marketing management. A great course, actually, because it touched on lots and lots of different areas. So it allowed you at that stage in your education to explore what interested you, where your strengths were, and sort of it didn't specialise too much. So I really enjoyed it. And it had a placement year available as part of the course, which for me was really important.
So where did they send you in your placement year?
So for my placement year, I applied. It was just like applying for any other job. I applied to go to Marks and Spencer's. And I was very, very set on going to Marks and Spencer's. That was my absolute dream. And I was lucky enough to be selected to go there for the year.
And am I right in thinking you were Marks and Spencer's first ever product development graduate?
Yes, to my knowledge, I was. I was a bit of a guinea pig. I think perhaps I was so persistent and irritating in my desire to stay, as it were. They took pity on me and allowed me to try out, you know, how it would work.
Well, I'd say it worked out for everyone because you ended up staying there for a few years, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And I absolutely loved it. And reflecting on it now, I don't think I appreciated it even half as much as I do now. I was pretty much in awe of most of the people I worked with because I was surrounded by experts in so many different products.
So fresh out of uni, what did M&S get you doing? What kind of things?
Across my time as a placement student and as a graduate, I moved around lots of different product categories. And that's quite common working in retail development and still happens a lot with the customers that I work with today. And it's great because you get to learn so much about different product areas. You get to work with different teams, with different suppliers, and every single one of those moves teaches you something different. So I worked in food to go. I worked with colleagues on the launch of the Shelter charity initiative with the Christmas sandwich range, which was really exciting.
That's iconic now, the M&S
yeah,
Christmas sandwich.
Yeah, it's really grown. Yeah, it was amazing. So that was something really great to be part of. I worked with the American range, the diet range. I worked with the Italian range, which was a fantastic experience and involved going on research trips to Italy. And I even had a little stint in looking after a couple of household products as well, which really taught me something different. Lots of experience working in very diverse areas, all with their own different benefits and challenges, I suppose.
So did this really cement for you that you'd made the right choice about what you'd studied? And did you make anything that ended up on the shop floor?
In answer to your first question, yes, it did definitely cement that I'd made the right choice. And I think actually it is that very feeling of seeing your product on the shelf that really made me realise this was definitely what I wanted to do. And even in my student year, my products ended up on the shelf. I was working on, I think it was a children's range of products at the time, and I was just so, so proud to see them there. Although I did have to, my parents phoned me and were so proud of the fact that they had re-merchandised the fixture to make sure that the products I'd worked on were really front of the visual for customers. That was really funny.
Oh, I think that's adorable. I've done things like that before. When I was editing a food magazine, I've gone to W.H. Smith and rearranged the shelves. We've all done it. What is a typical day for you like in your role at Greencore?
A typical day might be a team meeting in the morning where everybody gets together. We'll see how everybody is, particularly over the last few years where we might have been working a little bit further apart from each other. It's been really important for us to check in with each other and see how everyone is. Usually we'll talk about food because we all talk about food all day. It's an occupational hazard of working in MPD is that you constantly feel hungry in every meeting. And quite a lot of meetings, touching base with my peers to see what's happening in other product categories or with different customer account teams, to touch base with customers and find out what their priorities are and what support they need from us and make sure that we're doing a good job in providing that. Perhaps a product tasting panel, that forms a really big part of our time in product development, reviewing, assessing and refining the products that we develop.
I like the sound of this product tasting panel. So are we talking everybody in your team is around a table or perhaps they're in a test kitchen? How's that work?
Yes. So, I mean, essentially we are around a table. So we have in our office in Bristol, a development kitchen, which is not too dissimilar to a domestic kitchen, really. And we have a little kitchen island unit where we'll all gather, sample the products and really hone in on whether or not our concepts are meeting the brief.
And this is all done by your in-house development chef, the cooking bit?
So the cooking bit is done by our development chef, but our chef works really in very close partnership with our product developer. It's a really important relationship, actually, between developer and chef. The chef might do more of the practical cooking and a little bit more of the creative recipe side. And the developer role is really important in terms of being able to document that, to make sure that that concept can be brought to life. So making sure that the product is costed correctly, that it fits the nutritional criteria that we might have in terms of that particular product. And also the whole team works really in close partnership with our process development team as well to make sure that whatever we design in a kitchen environment can be made ultimately in a much bigger pot in our manufacturing area, and that we can make that product safely, consistently to the quality that we require and to the cost that we've agreed. There's a lot of different parameters involved in transferring that first idea that you're tasting in a bowl and drooling over and thinking is amazing to getting it ultimately produced in its thousands on the shelf ready for someone to buy.
Oh, I bet it's a big process. I can't even imagine. As a chef, I'm tempted to run away with expensive ingredients and the best produce. So of course I can make something that tastes delicious, but ask me to market for the masses one of my dishes and I'm not quite sure how I do it. So I do believe what you do is a kind of magic. How do you stay on top of food and drinks trends? Where are you looking to keep up to date and almost predict what might happen next?
Everywhere is the answer. In my reading, books and magazines, definitely in social media nowadays, that is a huge source of trend fodder. I am, much to my colleagues' dismay, probably constantly spamming them with things I'm finding on Instagram that look very exciting. But then also there are different trend organisations who produce reports, big picture, consolidated trend reports that we'll access and work really closely with our category team and our innovation team to focus on what are the really big trends that are the driving forces in our categories over the short term and the medium to long term as well.
And even when you do use those big trend forecasting companies and market research, are you still surprised sometimes by what takes off with consumers and you couldn't have seen it coming?
Sometimes, but I do think one of my previous managers said to me one day, everything is a balance of insight and instinct, and it always stayed with me. I think it's really true, actually. You can always look at lots of statistics, but you've either got a nose for this stuff or you haven't. And I've had times in my career when I've felt really on the button. And I think all of us in product development probably have times when we think we've really got something sussed and it doesn't quite go away. You know, I think that's the nature of what we do. We're always going to have so many ideas, and there's only a small percentage of those that are going to really, really rock it.
Do you think it's gut instinct? Like, do you think the more you listen to your gut instinct, the more true it becomes?
I think experience teaches you a great deal. I mean, product development in its entirety, I believe, is about asking the right questions. It doesn't matter where you work, what sort of products you're looking after, where they're going to be sold. It's really about knowing the right sorts of questions to ask and weaving your way through those little dilemmas of what product direction to take.
Do you ever go through phases where the last thing you want to hear about is food and drink, and work just feels a bit too much like, you know, life imitating art? What do you do to switch off from it all?
You're going to laugh at this, because my way of switching off is generally to do something to do with food.
Oh dear, you're an absolute food nut, I can tell.
Do I ever get sick of talking about food? No, I don't think I'll ever get tired of talking about food. There are some days when your particular product area might not appeal to you. So if it's a heat wave in July and you're talking about soup, sometimes that's hard going. If you are on a really hardcore health kick and you're faced with a table full of cakes that you need to taste for that day, sometimes the most glamorous things, you know, people think, oh my gosh, you get to eat that for a living. Sometimes you just get a bit tired of it. But I think the food industry is a fantastic place to work. It can be challenging, but it can be so much fun. It can be a place where you can keep learning your whole life. You will always be well fed. You might get to travel if you're lucky. And if you're as lucky as I have been, you will be surrounded by people who are massively passionate and work really hard to make good food to eat. And there's not that many jobs where you get to quite enjoy the fruits of your labour in the same way. I would definitely recommend it.
It's me again. That was Rachel, who gets top marks from me for being such a useful guest after she shared lots of recommendations with us after her recording. Here are Rachel's top tips for getting into product development, or just the food industry at large. Sheffield Hallam University runs a range of food-centred courses. Check out their website for details. Rachel also really likes Cardiff Metropolitan, Reading, Harper Adams, Leeds and Bath Spa universities for food courses. She also suggested looking at the website of the Institute of Food Science and Technology to get information about different routes into this business. That's the IFST. If you're just looking for a work placement, go to the jobs pages of big brands directly, such as Co-op, PepsiCo, McCain and Bacavor, or just ask their HR teams directly. Meanwhile, for keeping up with food trends, which is an essential part of Rachel's job, here's the Instagram accounts that she likes. Mob Kitchen, 5 o'clock Apron, Poppy Cooks, Saliha Cooks, Sabrina Gayor, and it's not the first time we've heard her mentioned, April Preston and Co. April is the food product director for Marks and Spencer's, so she knows a lot about food. And why not follow Rachel on Instagram too? She is hungrytff_. Rachel's last hot tip was for a new mentoring scheme for people starting out in food called Flourish in Food. Definitely check out their Instagram too, @flourishinfood. Thank you again to Rachel for all your time and brilliant advice. And thank you for listening. Until next time, goodbye.